you've been following the news, you'll know that the city is grappling with the issue of how and where to shelter thousands of newly arrived asylum seekers and their families, even going so far as to propose rolling back New York's right to shelter law to avoid its responsibilities. Today, we're joined by Daniel Parra, a reporter and editor at City Limits, who's tracked the migrant shelter crisis from the perspective of both the city, but most importantly, the migrants themselves. Daniel, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So over the past year or so, we've seen the city's strategy for housing migrants change pretty quickly and sometimes drastically from shelters to hotels to tents, all the while uprooting families in the process. What's your take on how the city's strategy is evolving?
Yes, I will say that during this past year, we have seen like three phases. The first one was a super welcoming phase in which the mayor and commissioners and volunteers, mutual aid groups, all were a port authority welcoming migrants. Basically, that was the welcoming phase. After that was a phase of concern. Everything changed after a few months. The mayor decided to create this new way of housing migrants, basically in tents, big tents. And this concept of humanitarian emergency response and relief center was created. That's the HERCS, what is called now the HERCS. And now we are in a phase of what I will call as a lack of guarantees. There's a push to kind of go back to this right to shelter law and try to maybe take migrants out of that guarantee.
Yeah, that's been the big debate over the last couple of, definitely over the last month or so, whether migrants are subjected to New York's right to shelter law. And I know initially there was discussion about just completely absolving New York's right, getting rid of New York's right to shelter law, but it seems to be more targeted toward migrants now. We rarely, if ever, hear from the individuals at the core of this struggle, the migrants. What are you hearing about from migrants about their experiences in the shelter options that are being provided by the city? What are they saying about the process and the conditions?
Yeah, it's hard to like generalize. First of all, like every time that I go to a shelter or HERC, Race by Center, or places where I will find migrants, all of them are super grateful to have a roof over their heads and whatever they can eat or whatever they are offered to eat, they are super grateful to have those things because they have travel and they know that those two simple things are not easy to find in other countries that they have passed through while they were migrating to the US. So they are always super grateful. But at the same time, they recognize that there are issues in the places that they are staying. Basically, it is not the same to when you go to, for example, a hotel that was converted into an emergency shelter because they will have privacy, they will have some services in some cases, such as case managers, social workers, and sometimes nurses that kind of are ready for them and they can ask questions and go deep into their cases and get information. And also, if you go to, for example, a church or a former police academy that has been converted into what has been called Race by Centers, it is not the same. Conditions are totally different. In some of them, it's hard to find a shower. For example, there's a church in Astoria that didn't have a shower. So it'll depend on the place. Also, if you go now to Randall's Island, it is not the same. The services, the space, the conditions, it's not the same to staying in a hotel or a tent, where you gotta sleep on cots. And for each one of them, there are specific issues or concerns.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after these messages.
Charm Bar and Restaurant is a Caribbean and American fusion restaurant located in the Park Slope area of Brooklyn, New York. Their cuisine embraces influence and inspiration from Haiti, Jamaica, Trinidad, and many other Caribbean islands. Their menu also highlights several vegan options and signature cocktails curated using the finest and freshest ingredients. This past year, Charm has been featured by Forbes, Ebony, Chase Sapphire, and Black Restaurant Week. And they sponsored Envision Freedom's office warming with a delicious selection from their menu. Dine with them at 448 Dean Street in Brooklyn, adjacent to the Barclays Center, and follow them on Instagram at charmbarbk.
Yeah, I guess like one of the questions I had is, you know, the mayor, and this was a few months ago, he kind of put the call out for like churches and nonprofits to step in and like, if you can house migrants, let us know. We want to talk to you. We need your help. And, you know, I know a lot of organizations responded, but we don't know a lot about those organizations. What do you know anything about the groups that are running these facilities? Because I'm imagining that's a large part of where and why there are differences.
In May, we learned that the mayor was going to launch a program with houses of 50 houses of worship. Each one of them will house a maximum of 19 migrants. And that'll be programming which those churches will only serve migrants during the night. So opens will be open around 7 p.m. and all migrants should leave next day around 7 p.m. So that program included some what they call hospitality centers that will kind of welcome people during the day from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. And they will offer some services over there. That program, based on a hearing in September, two churches so far have opened and have received migrants so far. The program was announced in June. The goal was to have at least 10 churches up and running at the end of the month in July or so. But we did a follow-up in August and none of them had opened. And just based on the hearing that I was referring, we learned that only two churches have opened so far. So that's one program. The other program, the response was managed or handled by basically two big agencies. One was the Department of Homeless Services, DHS, and Department of Social Services, DSS. But that quickly moved. And then when the idea of HERCS emerged, Health and Hospitals and the Office of Emergency Management, OEM, jump in and got involved, and they started to oversee and handle the contracts for the vendors who will provide, for example, the construction of the tent, the services for food, services for case management. And right now, there's also one more agency involved, which is Housing Preservation and Development. Those are like the big agencies in charge of the response in the city.
Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after these messages.
Over the last 8 years, Envision Freedom Fund has paid more than $14 million to free close to 6,000 individuals from pretrial jailing or immigration detention. Thank you to all of our donors who help us to pay the too high price for freedom. We know that paying bond will never be enough on its own to end the humanitarian crisis of incarceration and the surveillance of Black, Brown, and immigrant communities. That's why we also fight to dismantle the systems that harm our communities in the first place. If this sounds like the transformative change that you believe in, you can join us. Visit our website, envisionfreedom.org, or click the link right on our Spotify profile to donate to Envision Freedom Fund. Because freedom for all people will take all of us.
Switching gears a little bit, in July, the mayor instituted a 60-day limit for adult migrants in shelters, which has now been reduced to 30 days. Your recent reporting revealed that the city has also been giving asylum-seeking families with children a 28-day voucher to stay in some hotels. Are you seeing the impact of these shelter limits on migrant adults and families, or what impact are these limits having at all?
Yeah, as you can imagine, if you have your children in school, if you have found a job close to where you are staying or living for 28 days or so, and if you have made some connections with community-based organizations or people around the area, it all changes. It all changes after these 28 days. The program is called the Hotel Vouchering Program, and it gives a stay of only 28 days. After that period, families can return to the city's arrival center, which is located at the Roosevelt Hotel, to receive another placement. And right now, when we publish, a total of 221 households were being sheltered as part of the program. And the hotel in the Bronx where the families that I talked to were staying, there are like 35 families staying at the hotel as part of this program. As you know, families with children currently make up the majority of asylum seekers and immigrants who have entered the shelter system, and there are more than 44,000 individuals as of August 31st. So yes, there's a lot of changes. This type of voucher program disrupts their families, and in some cases, we'll see, these families don't have much information about where to enroll their children, and they're having issues with the food that has been served in the hotel.
Wow. So basically, they have to start all over again after the 28 days, which is crazy. Well, you know, one of the things that makes me sad is that so much of the discussion about immigration in New York has become a story of us versus them, especially when we have talk about this issue of shelter. When the reality is that there isn't an us and a them, we all want safety and stability for ourselves and our families. And, you know, we see this in the battle to suspend the city's right to shelter rules that will certainly impact newly arrived migrants, but it's also going to impact the large unhoused population that pre-existed the current crisis, that's been protected by this policy since 1981. What responsibilities do you think journalists like you have when it comes to perpetuating or disrupting false narratives like this, like us versus them? What do you hope readers take away from your reporting?
I think my job is to report on conditions in which all of us somehow confront inequality. We sometimes think that my issues or the things that are affecting me are only affecting me, and it is hard to connect with other people's issues, and everybody is affected. I think unless you're maybe part of the 0.1% of the population, all of us are touched or affected by inequality. And I will say that whenever we see that all of us, not just a few or those who are coming from other countries, are vulnerable to this issue of inequality or other issues such as unemployment, lack of housing, climate change, all the issues that are affecting all of us around the world, then we probably can connect with others and kind of understand the reason why others want a better future for them or their families. It is basically, or in my view, it has never been a battle between us versus them. It's always a battle between humanity and the big issues such as inequality.
You know, like, I think with that, like, I know that we at Envision Freedom Fund, and me personally, you know, we're glad that there are reporters like you to really, you know, see your job as being able to shine the light on the truth that's both good and that's ugly and that we don't like to talk about, and to give voice to individuals like the asylum seekers with children who are really absent from the current discourse. And so, you know, thank you for really being a responsible steward within the media.
Thank you. No, thank you. That's what we are supposed to do. I mean, thank you for reading.
Of course. And speaking of that, those are all my questions for you. But where can people find your coverage?
Basically, right now, you can find all my coverage at citylimits.org. We also publish my stories and some of my colleagues' stories in Spanish. So we have a somehow bilingual media outlet in New York City.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us on Dismantling Injustice this week. You know, we'll definitely continue to follow your work and follow up with you as more questions arise around this migrant shelter crisis. Thank you so much. And listeners, thank you for joining us this week.
Thanks again for joining us. Dismantling Injustice is brought to you by Envision Freedom Fund, an organization that works to transform the immigration and criminal legal systems while meeting the critical needs of individuals impacted by these systems daily. To learn more about our work and donate, visit us at envisionfreedom.org. That's envisionfreedom.org. Our executive producer is Abigail Wolf and hosted by Carl Hammett Lipscomb. That's me. Special thanks to the team at Envision Freedom for being amazing. Until we're all free, peace out.